We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, many years ago, there was a cartoon called Pogo, P-O-G-O, and there was a famous, it's probably the most famous part of that cartoon that was in the paper one time, and it said, we have found the enemy, and it is us. Now that, in a way, I'm going to try my best, if I can do it, to tie that to James chapter 3. I'll explain in a moment, but right now we want to say welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, with Brent Austin. And Bert, this is very exciting to me because I don't have any worry about the technology breaking down today because I'm in studio.
Amen. And we are glad of all things, though. The live streaming's not going on. They're having trouble with a camera.
Okay.
So all they're seeing is Exploring the Word without our pictures. But
that's probably for the best.
Well, I wondered if this was staged, not. But it is good to have you in Tupelo, Mississippi, Alex. Amen. And we're always glad to have you down here in the deep south.
It's great to be here, and a lot of exciting stuff going on. I want to be on record, though, and just give a big praise to the Lord. Last week, you and I and everybody, we were working on Share-a-thon, and as I hear tell, it was a great blessing from the Lord, the resources necessary to share the gospel worldwide via media. And I know you worked hard, but don't we thank God for the supporters all over America that contribute to the American Family Radio Network, the American Family Association. And please know, folks, we're in this together. It's a gospel endeavor, but we thank God for each and every one of you, don't we, Bert?
We really do, and we say a big, big thank you. I tell folks there's four things they do, and they pray for us, and that is such a blessing for us. Second, they listen.
Yeah. Amen.
Thirdly, they tell other people. And fourthly, many give financially.
Yes, yes.
And we realized this year, a lot of you gave sacrificially, even more so than ever.
Yeah.
Have you filled up with gas lately?
I did it yesterday, and it hurt.
It hurts. Have you gone to the grocery store lately?
Two, three, 4 days ago, and it hurt. Angie has a grocery list, and I've noticed that our groceries seem like 40% more, and we don't splurge really, Bert, and it's just painfully expensive to put food in the cupboard.
So all these people who support us at AFR financially, they're going through the same thing, struggling, and many of them, okay, how can I give? They've given sacrificially, but we just say a big thank you.
Amen.
Let's pray and thank the Lord.
Indeed.
I've thanked him, but not on the radio. I have.
Yes.
Would that be all right for me to do that? Father, I thank you again for our listeners. What a joy it is. Alex gets to meet so many on the road. I get to meet some as well. But Father, we thank you for those that say we want to join with you and be a part of this. And we thank you for the victory that was really accomplished, and it was in your name. And we give you praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, let me get some of the numbers, not exact, but it was 18,000 callers, okay?
Wow.
18,000. And then it was over $4 million. So right at 4.2, right at 4.2 in pledges.
Amen.
And but again, I always try to give that on Share-a-thon. I always talk about how many listeners, how many callers we have in, because that represents people and family. And some of, we don't know what, we don't have any idea. We don't. Some people do have what, who gave and when. But Or as those of us who are on the radio, we just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We really do. And I want to say something, and we're going to be in James chapter 3. But I completely give God the glory for this, because if you've listened to Exploring the Word very long, I assure you it's not about Bert and Alex. It's about the Lord Jesus. But when people write and they email and they'll say, Alex, can you answer this Bible question? We trust you, and we're trying to figure out a family issue or something at church or a Bible question, and we know that Bert and Alex can be trusted. That's very humbling, isn't it?
It really is.
And we do our very best. And so to each and every one of you, I know you love the Lord, you love this country, you believe that people need Christ as we do, and you pray for us and you listen, and together we are telling people about the gospel. It's just the greatest thing we've ever been a part of. Would you agree?
It is. It's a joy. And again, we thank God that we have a lot of Bible teaching programs that are on AFR.
Yeah.
Many of them are generated other ministries, and they, you know, they have the time slot that is assigned to them. But we, you and I, have the privilege of, this is produced by, quote, AFR
Amen.
Itself. And we have that privilege to be a part of that, to the Bible study. You do Abe's Abraham Hamilton's program quite often. Mm-hmm. And Abe always starts out with a strong Bible passage, you know, and strength, and then goes on into the issues of the day and how it applies. And others do different things from a biblical worldview. But Exploring the Word, we do it purposely. We could do a lot more interviews. You and I have talked about it, and we say, no, that's not our original intent, although we do them. We
right,
do some,
right.
But it has to be very, what we consider very important for us to deviate from our Bible study program to do that.
Yeah.
Because they've assigned you and me, hey, Exploring the Word, that's what it is. It's Exploring the Word of God.
It is. And you know, I well remember more than 15 years ago when Tim Wildman and I had a conversation, and he said, I want the Scriptures on the airwaves, prime time, middle to late afternoon. And that's what we've been doing. And I think that's why God has blessed it. And I, like I said last week, I've got lots and lots of correspondence of people that have either come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. And we give God the glory for that. But Bert, I got to say, when I read James chapter 3, it is convicting.
It is.
It is convicting. You know, my sister, she just never did get in trouble growing up. And I think I was always in trouble. And a lot of the times when, and it rightly so, I needed to be corrected. But it would be because I was saying something I shouldn't say, or smarting off, as my mom and dad would say. And when I read James chapter 3 about the taming of the tongue, that's just been a battle I've had ever since I was a toddler, I guess.
Well, according to what this says, most human beings are going to have that issue, no matter
okay.
the language, no matter the location. Let me read some of those verses, and then we will come back and we'll start this discussion about what James said was an unruly member. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. I just got to stop there. Alex, that's why we take our jobs very seriously.
Amen.
Okay, the Word of
right
God.
On.
For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now listen to this. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, Alex, I would say that when the word was said, every idle word will be brought into judgment, and you compare this, one of the biggest issues that humans have and one of the big issues that believers have is controlling the tongue.
Yeah. I'm telling you. And just like an animal, I've put a bridle on a horse many, many times. I've done that. But for we humans, I think that bridle would be the Holy Spirit to help us control. You know?
I agree fully. The Word of God, the more, let me just say this, the more you put into the Word of God into your mind and let it saturate your mind and let it occupy your thoughts, you know, dwelling on the Word of God, you know, meditating on the Word of God and yielding, and that's the key word, yield to the Holy Spirit, you will have a greater ability for the tongue to have self-control.
Yeah.
You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control.
Amen.
And I really do believe one of the greatest areas that we need the Holy Spirit of God in this fruit of the Spirit is the self-control of the tongue.
Amen.
You know, in communicating is hard. It's what you want to say, what you meant to say, what you did say, what that person thought they heard, what that person heard, and then what that person interpreted what you said. Communication is difficult at best.
Have you ever heard that little bit of verse, words are seeds that start to grow, so be careful what you sow? You know, sometimes famous people or elected officials will have what they call a hot mic moment. In other words, the microphone is on, but they didn't know it was on. And after exchanging all the pleasantries, they say what they really thought. And sometimes it can be just incredibly destructive. Bert, I remember this is, I don't know, 20 years ago, but I was on a conference call with a Christian organization, and no names here. It's not anybody would have heard of, but we had a project we were doing for ministry, and it was on speakerphone, and we wrapped up. It's great. God bless you. Goodbye. But they didn't know it, but my staff could still hear them. And let me just tell you, it was unrepeatable, and there was some curse words, and we just were aghast. But they didn't know that we could hear what they were saying. And believe me, it changed the dynamic of we didn't collaborate with this particular organization after all. Here's the thing, though. The tape recorder is always running. God hears what we say. Not only that, the Lord hears what we say. The Lord knows the intents of our heart. And so James 3 has a lot to say about the tongue, but I think it also goes to our mind and our heart, because the word, just like the behavior we engage is an outflow of what we believe and think. Well, the words that we say are an outflow of what we think and say. Verse 5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. In fact, in terms of our body, it just weighs a few ounces and yet has such implication. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is itself set on fire by hell. Verse 6.
That's powerful. I want to make just one more thing back, and that's the ship. The ship is, you know, if they have their sails up, the wind is going to guide it. You know, it's going to empower it. But that rudder, even though the wind may be compelling it to go one way, because of the rudder, it can go against what is more powerful.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit of God in our lives can direct that. And here's the word, overcome other issues.
Amen.
And the Bible says we're more than conquerors. The Bible says we're overcomers. And one of the biggest things we need to overcome is our language.
Yeah.
What we say, how we say it, and dare I say, how about our body language? Have you ever seen that? Now, that's not the tongue, but sometimes it's the body language that gives people away.
Yes.
Well, we're going to be back in a moment, and we're going to finish this discussion that James has about the tongue.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and Preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele. meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget, as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Man, we're having the whole Brent Austin down. That's his kind of – you could see him over there getting with the beat, you know. That's a drummer for you, isn't it?
Well, in addition to engineering Exploring the Word, he could be a really good DJ a Christian station, you know.
That was his dream job, and now he gets to do part of the DJ anyway. Right, Brent?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit.
I actually used to do a little bit of DJing for, like, private parties and stuff at one time, but not a lot. I couldn't afford the equipment.
Well, we're glad. Hey, we're glad you are where you are.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, we're not on Facebook Live today. We're having some camera issues, and some people are saying, well, it's about time. But anyway, you know, I walked in to hear this and asked for a job, and they said, you got a face for it, so you're hired.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, that's an old joke, I know. But we are going to be podcast, right, Brent? And that will come up, quiz the program's over, he'll put it on there. So you'll get to hear about James chapter 3, and that's where we are. And we're talking about verse 7. It's given two illustrations already about the horse and the ship. Yeah. Notice what else he does in verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind.
Yeah.
Now, listen, James is really putting it on there. Said, we're talking about ships. We're talking about horses that are friends. And then it says, even those things that are more difficult, reptiles, creatures, they can be tamed, but not the tongue.
Mm.
Now, no man can. That's the whole idea. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Wow.
Now, that is strong statement of condemnation of the tongue not tamed.
You know, there is something called the dominion mandate that Adam and Eve, have dominion over the earth, subdue it. Let's include, and we know, like it says there in verse 7, every kind of beast and bird, reptile, and even sea creatures is tamed and has been tamed by man. Bert, I've seen videos online of the Ed Sullivan Show. I'm showing my age here, but they would have, you know, lion tamers on there. I've seen them have birds that were trained, but it says in verse 8 of James chapter 3, no man can tame the tongue. So let's bring our language under the dominion mandate. Let's, with the help of the Holy Spirit, let our mouth and our words and our language be under the lordship of Christ as well. Verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. Well, then the Lord can help us do that. Before we get too far, verse 6 says that the tongue has the potential to do such great damage and is set on fire by hell. You know, in the original language, it's the word Gehenna, which was this place of death. It was like a burning garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. And when we were over there, we saw what was Gehenna, the grave. The tongue, the words we say can build up. The words they say can, that we say can tear down. Bert, I've counseled a lot of people very successful people, very accomplished people, but they still carry around the pain of being told that they were stupid. I've had men say that years ago their dad said that we didn't want you. We, didn't want you, and you're no good. Let me say this. Words do matter. They really do. Words can edify. Words can wound. And to everybody listening, and I've said things that I wish I could take back. Let's again give our voice and our words to the Lord. And maybe you've been the one that delivered harsh blows with words. God will forgive you. Maybe you have been the recipient, and you've been the you've gotten a verbal beat down. God can heal us. But words matter. And I'll say this. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Words truly matter because our God speaks words, doesn't Amen. He, Bert?
They are. You remember when they came and they were sent, some young lawyers, we would call them scribes, and they were to go to Jesus and ask him some hard questions. And they came back to the elders and said, we've never, ever heard a man speak like this man. He has the words of life. That's what Peter said. Whom to else would we go? You have the what? Words of life. We Amen. Hear you. We follow you. And so that's why the Bible is so important. That's why it is wise for anybody to saturate themselves in the Word of God and let it reign in their lives. I say, well, I can't get it. I don't understand. Listen, if you'll read it, I want to just tell you, if you read it enough, guess what's going to happen? It's going to bleed over into your conversation. Yeah. It's going to bleed over into your thinking. And if you're saved, man, the Holy Spirit of God, He will bring it to your remembrance at the right time. Now, listen to the rest of this. Verse 9, with it, the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Now, what is he doing there? He's saying you better be careful what you say to your fellow man, yeah. not just the fellow believer here. This is man. This is all men. Be careful what you say.
Yeah.
Even those people in positions of high office that occupy them right now, we need to be careful how we utter those words and say those words concerning them. Of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Now listen to this. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. In other words, you don't go to church on Sunday and start saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, and then go out Monday and use his name in vain. What a contrast. These things ought not to be. Out of that same mouth, you don't bless and you curse. No. And he uses illustration. He's going to get the illustration of water. Good yeah. water, bad water. You don't get them from the same brook
yeah.
or the stream or the fountain in our day. No. And so here, have you noticed how much nature James puts into chapter 3?
Yes.
It's repeated again and again, isn't it?
Well, you know, scholars have said that God has given us the book of Scripture, but there's also the book of nature. Psalm 19 refers to that. And yeah, just all around us, there are reminders about the spiritual nature of the world. The creation points to the Creator.
That's it, isn't it? But, creation and redemption.
Yeah.
That's the story, folks.
It is. And Matthew 7, 17 through 20, Jesus says, a good tree does not produce bad fruit. A bad tree does not produce good fruit. So here's the thing. You know, it says in verse 9, with the same mouth, we bless God and the Father. But with that same mouth, we curse men. Now look at verse 12. Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Now, how is that convicting? And every one of us, this is between you and God. But if your vocabulary and the intent of your heart and the words of your mouth are ungodly, then maybe go back and say, have I really been saved? Because if you're bringing forth bad water, you're not a good spring. And hey, the Bert, we've gone rafting with youth groups, and there's in Colorado when I lived out there, we would go to what was called the headwaters of the Arkansas River. See, what is your source, your headwaters? Is it God and His Word and the Holy Spirit, or is it the world, the flesh, and the devil?
In other words, it goes downstream.
Yes,
and so the headwaters produce
what flows out.
Wow.
And I'm just saying this because, listen, we can go through the motions. We can go through the external, behavior that looks religious. But our vocabulary and what we say is very indicative as to who is the king and the leader of our heart and soul.
It reveals things to us, doesn't it? It really does. And so we want to be a blessing.
Amen.
So out of our mouth should come blessings. And I could not help but think of a lot of Old Testament passages when it came to that. Jacob blessing his sons, mm-hmm. you remember, passing on the blessing. John Trent, years ago, wrote a book, The Blessing.
Amen.
And it was about the fathers passing on that blessing to their sons. And what an opportunity that is. I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, Abimelech in the Old Testament, after Gideon dies, he wants to take over, and he has his 70 brothers killed. Now, again, all but one, he got away. And, Abimelech was a wild thing. And guess what his half-brother does? He comes back, and he tells the people, hey, listen, you bet. And he uses the fig tree, the grapevine, and he talks about the thorn bush.
Yeah.
And he was saying to them about Abimelech is a thorn bush. He's not producing good fruit. He's not producing a great shade. All he is producing is thorns and that which is ready to be burned. What are we producing with our mouth? Mm. Are we producing blessing? Or are we producing cursing in our life? Now, along with your tongue, the Holy Spirit, another thing that is needed in order to do that is wisdom, knowing what to say and when to say it.
Yes.
You know, is timing important?
It is. And I think a lot of this comes with maturity. They talk about children have no filter very often. But and listen, we want to speak the truth and be forthright, but as you grow up, there's diplomacy, tact, you've heard these words, and just kindness. Bert, let me say this. Everybody appreciates a compliment. I've been very blessed to have a friend in North Carolina named Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Chapman is part of Calvary Baptist in Winston-Salem. You'll know him, folks. He wrote one of the greatest books ever, The Five Love Languages.
And it's still, I haven't found anything better than that book on demonstrating the love,
well,
of how they feel loved.
Do you know, and he said God gave this to him in, I think, 1968, and God has used this book in a great way. But Dr. Chapman said, fundamentally, all human beings want respect. Words of affirmation, that is a love language. And Angie and I have tried to help couples, and maybe one of the spouses says, yeah, but my spouse, they don't deserve respect. That's when you need to sow respect. Because very often, and I don't want to get us off on a counseling show here, but people will eventually rise to the expectation. And Dr. Chapman, he said to me about a year ago, we were on a program, he said in 50 plus years, virtually every marriage he's ever counseled could be helped, if not saved, when the spouses will treat each other with respect.
Yeah. And when you know your spouse's or your children's love language,
yes,
for them to feel loved, it must be spoken in their language. In other words, they can know it.
Yeah.
But in these relationships, you not only want to know it, but you want to feel it.
Yeah.
And so that's what the five love languages. So we recommend that highly. If you don't have the book, find it and get it. Now, let me read here 13 through 18
Amen.
Of the rest of this chapter, because along with the Holy Spirit, he brings wisdom. If any man, he's already covered this a little bit in James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives sparingly?
Abundantly.
No, abundantly, he does. Now listen, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, even demonic. Mm. And where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What powerful words. I want to repeat these. What do you need in your life? You need good conduct, okay? You need truth. You need wisdom, and it brings about peace. Peace is a result, Alex, okay?
Amen.
When you practice these things, and I want to read it one more time, and I'll hand it back to you. Wisdom that is from above, not from the earth, is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Mm.
Wow. Do we need that in our lives, especially in our relationships in the family?
Amen. We certainly do. Doesn't this remind you almost the James 3:17 is almost like the list Paul writes in Galatians 5.
It does.
About the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience. Now, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above. And this is, folks, as James 1:5 says, this is available to anybody. If you want this kind of wisdom and these characteristics in your heart, your mindset, your vocabulary, ask God, he'll give you. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You know, Bert, if every church, every Christian, every couple, every family member would aspire to James 3:17, I think it would change the world.
I'll agree with you.
Am I right?
It is right on. Read this. Make it a part of your lives. Examine your speech. Examine your thought life. And go by verse 17 and put a check by those things that said, yeah, it is.
Amen.
And those that are not, Lord, help me to work on it. I want to be your man, your woman, your young person for such a time as this. We're going to be back, and we're going to answer your questions, and that phone number, 888-589-8840. When Antoinette found out she was pregnant, she was in a bad place. She didn't know how she could raise her child on her own. She searched for an abortion clinic, and God led her to a preborn clinic where she met her baby on ultrasound. When she saw her baby and heard the heartbeat, she broke down crying, and the nurse reminded her that babies are blessings from God. She chose life. Her daughter's name is Treasure because she is a gift from God. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and Alex McFarland. And the phone number that you can call, we have some lines that are open, and we're going to get to as many as we can today, is 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, Alex and I would love to hear, and we'd love to talk about it. Sometimes we have to say, we're going to have to pray about that. We're going to have to check that out. But most of the time, we'll give you at least some direction. And so we hope that is the case. So we want you to share that. You heard that promotion about Fishbowl. It's
yes.
coming up in October. It's Pastor Appreciation Month.
Yes.
And those people that would love to do that and send their pastor, get the pastor's permission. Make sure they can get off that week. And it's with the wife. It's in the middle of the week, Alex, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. They do miss the Wednesday night service, but they can usually get there between the two Sundays and not have to take a Sunday off. Jan and I'll be doing that and sharing together. J.J. Jasper is going to be there for a session.
Wow. Okay,
and then Dr. Ray Pritchard and his wife is going to be there sharing. So we're going to have a great time.
Well, Bert, you're doing a great work encouraging ministry families. You and Jan are, and you're great. Jan is great. J.J., Ray Pritchard. And when is that again, and where can
October.
People find it?
October. Okay. They can find it at repairingthefoundations.net, and it's in October.
All right. Well, the number is 888-589-8840. We're going to go to Bible questions, and we're going to start in Arkansas, where I'll be in the month of May, and I'll tell you more about that. But Nancy, in Arkansas, you are the first caller on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Thank you so much. I listen to you all every day. Y'all take and make me understand the Bible a whole lot more than if I just read it myself. But I do have a question, please.
Yes.
Okay, God made the Garden of Eden. He made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel. God marked him and said that if you come in contact with anyone else, that they are supposedly to rebuke you. I'm kind of modifying things, I think. But he wound up in the city of Ur, and if it was Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the sisters that they had, where did Ur come from?
Great question. And, you know, this is one of those examples, Nancy, I'm glad you're bringing this up, that I think to really understand history, you have to understand the biblical chronology. Because, Bert, I mean, you think about that from the Garden of Eden to the fall to the flood to the call of Abraham. You can't understand world history unless you understand the Bible. But Ur was a city. You know what's amazing is that, you know, Abraham came out of Ur. And I remember reading, this is 25 years ago, that at one time, skeptics scoffed. They didn't even think Ur ever existed. It was just some mythological. They later found out it was a very organized city, about 140 miles from what we know as Babylon, existed at least by 3800 BC. There was a library in Ur with over 1,000 volumes of writing, and they were, it's in what is called Mesopotamia. So it was an amazing city. Now, we have more electronic devices. Well, we have electricity and things like that. But let me tell you, the people in the ancient world, in many cases, were very, very, very sophisticated, weren't they?
Yes, they made do with what they had and used it wisely. They really did. You can see that. And when you see some of these answers, let me just share this with you, Nancy. The chronological order is true. Now, again, they're... And when I say gaps, I do not mean there was nothing there, but there was things that happened during those gaps that caused multiplication of families in different directions. Have y'all done any of your family tree of the McFarlands?
We have, yes. Does
it branch out pretty good?
Yeah.
You hope it does.
Yeah,
it does. If it goes straight up, you got trouble, you know. But I mean that seriously. The family trees, it's amazing how far it goes back. I can go back to about five generations in my family and see where they are from and see all of that on all four of, you know, the Harpers, the Meltons, and I'm Walkers and the Hysols. That's my four, you know, the grandparents. And each one of them, and where they left, and they went to Texas from here. They went to Oklahoma from here. They settled in more places, but they came from Alabama. They came from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And even they came from England. And you find that. And it doesn't take that long, honestly, for multiplication to take place.
And
keep that in mind when you read the Bible.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of kids back then.
You know? They did. And they lived long
lives. They lived long lives. So you'd have a lot of people quickly in that area.
Well, and Nancy, let me recommend a book that, and again, you know the principle around here. We only recommend a book that we ourselves have read. I got this book a decade ago called The Bible timeline. Have you ever seen that?
I don't know the one. I've got one with a different, but I have.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I've seen that one.
And so, Cain and Abel were the first two children, but Adam and Eve lived long lives. Cain inevitably married a sibling. Cain, took a wife. And the Chaldean people that populated this area, like I say, in the Mesopotamian region, they were children of Adam and Eve. They were. And, of course, during the flood, eight souls were saved. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were the sons of Noah.
With their wives.
Yes. Everybody living today is a descendant of the Shemites, the Hamites, and the Japhethites. I don't know how to
that's
pronounce
it. That's the hardest one to pronounce. Hey, Nancy, thank you for that, Colin. And praise the Lord for Ur and Abraham coming out of it. He came out as Abram, but he left to become Abraham, which is, what's the difference in Abram and Abraham? Which is breath, which is the Spirit of God in him. If we were putting it today, he was born again. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He really did. Where do we go to
Paul
next?
Paul in Louisiana. Paul, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I sure appreciate you, too.
Good to hear from you.
And so my question for the day is, why does the world folks think we shouldn't have beef to eat?
Why do the what folks?
Well, I mean, so, all the climate change people want to.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Quit. And so my question, or the way I end up. So in the NIV, it just says animals. It seems like that in Genesis 1:24, cattle is mentioned as one of the animals that God created.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, that God gave Adam and Eve dominion. And, in Acts chapter 10, when God told Peter, now listen to this, folks, rise, kill, and eat. Now, we thank God for vegetables. I'm a carnivore. Steak, fish, and chicken. thank God for that too. Now, Paul, over the last 54 to 55 years, as we've seen the rise of climate activism, there's been, this accusation that livestock produces too much methane gas. And I want to say, and I'm only speaking for myself here, I think all of this environmentalism and the idea that puny little humans can change the ecosystem of our planet and solar system, I think it's bunk. I think it's bunk. And let me say, along with climate activism has become veganism. Now, if you want to be a vegan, that's between you and your healthcare provider, whatever you want to eat. But, Bert, as I read the Word of God, let me tell you what is not in the Word of God. Overpopulation. No, God says replenish the earth and bear children. The Bible says, like I said in Acts 10, what God has called clean, don't call unclean. Peter was told to, go eat the whole basket of every manner of food, So farming is a noble occupation. Raising cattle is a wonderful thing to do. Providing food for, meat for the table. And Bert, I got to tell you, fads and activism just doesn't shape what we do. The Word of God does.
We've always believed as believers in conservation.
Yes.
And what has happened with those people that are just fanatics concerning the ecosystem, they've turned conservation into control, to control everything. Conservation, I grew up on the farm. We did row farming, and we'd have fields that were on a hillside. Mm-hmm. And then we had some hills that was pasture land. Now, hillside, if you have hillside that's going to be farmed, you better have some terraces in it.
Oh, of course.
So that the topsoil doesn't wash all the way down. No. So we would have terraces. I didn't know what that was, but back then, far as I was concerned, it was a place to hunt rabbits and quail because fence rows and terraces is where they would, you know, their habitat.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, conservation, yes.
Sure.
And I praise God that we've set aside Yellowstone. I praise the Lord Yosemite is set aside so we can see these things. That I would call that stewardship of what we have. The Everglades, you don't want to destroy that. And so what happens, you have, it's balance. And I, again, that's so important, the balance of you know, take, and he said, take care of my creation.
Amen.
He told Adam, we have that responsibility, not use it as a wedge to hurt and harm, but to help and to strengthen. But I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. Those meats are available. Jesus sure did consume a lot of fish, and he provided a lot of fish.
Amen. He did. Praise God. We are so blessed to enjoy the world he's given us. Let's go to Mississippi. D in Mississippi. D, do I have your name correct?
Yes, D.
D,
like
okay.
The letter.
Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to ask y'all a question. I value y'all's show and your opinion, but my question is, a couple of months ago in our church, with everything that's happening in the world and particularly in Israel, a member of our congregation asked our pastor to preach on Israel and his, I guess, his take on things that were unfolding. And long story kind of short, the sermon revealed to me that my pastor is a believer in replacement theology, that the church, the world church, has replaced the Mosaic Covenant. And that's not how I've been taught. That's not what I've believed all my life, and it disturbed me.
Okay.
And I just wanted to get y'all's take on that. How you?
Thank you, D. We appreciate you calling in. Let me just share with you. Israel has not been replaced. Now, the mission that Israel had has been given over to the church, and that's missional.
Yes.
Listen, the purpose of God calling out Abraham, when you read it in Genesis 12, Alex, if that's not missional, nothing is, you know, that all the world through him would be blessed, that he was, and he said, I'm going to take you, when the placement of them is missional. So the whole purpose is missional. But far as God's plans and Israel, God still has them, and it's not the church that's going to do some of these things. The church has its place. Israel, the nation, the people, has their place as well. But the church is made up of Gentiles and Jewish people, and we're still to be on mission for God, Alex. And I think sometimes people on that, they think of the mission rather than the people. But when you read the book of Romans and other places, listen, Israel's got a future.
Oh, it does. Dee, thank you for your call. Let me say this, that the Bible is very clear in the book of Romans. And I would encourage people to read Romans 9 through 11, because Romans 11 talks about the Gentiles are grafted in to the covenant people of God. But Romans 9, Paul is very clear. And I want to say this in love. Look. We're all family because we believe Jesus is the Savior who died on the cross for our sins. But within the family of God, there are different schools of thought about the nature of Israel, the nature of how God knows who's going to get saved. And replacement theology basically says, well, Israel rejected their Messiah, therefore, okay, the church must now be the new Israel. And I can, in a way, sort of see where prior to May 14, 1948, that might have been believed.
What happened on that day, Alex?
Israel was reconstituted as a nation. Clearly, the promises of the Abrahamic covenant will one day be realized, that there will be a day when the Jewish people will occupy their land in a state of belief. But part of the reason And look, I know there are a lot of pastors, generally younger pastors, that believe in what is called replacement theology because it was really kind of a theological fad. But I'll say this in Romans 9, Paul addresses it. Has Israel's unbelief nullified the promises of God? God forbid.
No way.
And the Apostle Paul, and Liz, I love you. If what I'm saying rubs anybody the wrong way, blame me. But the Apostle Paul addressed and really rejected what you and I would call replacement theology.
So what we want to do, as many of the Jewish people we can, have them believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they become a part of the church.
Yes.
But the nation of Israel is still in existence, still purposeful, still some plans waiting on them. But here's the idea. Our mission is to know Jesus Christ and make him known.
Amen.
That is the mission of the church. That was the mission, really, of Israel beforehand,
yeah.
And they rejected it and didn't do it. Let the church keep on sharing Jesus. We'll see you tomorrow with more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.